Hey guys, this is Rivian Rundown. My name is Isaiah.
And I'm Zach, and welcome to the third episode that we're putting together. And not a lot of news to talk about this week, but we do have a few things to go over. So let's get into it.
Yeah, let's jump right in. So this past weekend was Electrify Expo in San Francisco, and you had the opportunity to go and see the R2. Gen 2 R1s, and was the R3 and R3X there as well?
No, unfortunately, even though they were up here last weekend or the previous weekend for the Monterey Car Week, apparently they're getting shipped off to a secret location for something else. According to the guys from Rivian that were there, they're basically just giving it the week off. But so we're recording this on Sunday, August 25th. First day of the expo was all this weekend, but yesterday was the first day, and there were a lot of awesome events before that as well. So I'll just give you a quick recap of everything that I did and saw. So started off the morning at 8 o'clock in the morning by heading out to the USS Hornet Museum. The USS Hornet is a retired aircraft carrier, and they have it docked in Alameda, which is very close to Oakland. So it's on the other side of the bay from San Francisco. And a really awesome thing, I got to meet up with the F-150 Lightning Owners Club and the Mach-E Owners Club of NorCal, the NorCal divisions of both of those, if you want to call it that. So it was really awesome. They actually wanted to partner with the Bay Area Rivian Club to do this event. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to kind of hook up and do like a big, huge EV event. But it was pretty awesome to go and hang out and meet a whole bunch of people in the community. Some on X as well. Christopher Bow, I believe his name is, with the F-150 Lightning Owners Club up here. So it was really awesome to meet him, check out all the F-150 Lightnings. I met Sophie, who's the head of the NorCal Mach-E Owners Club. She was awesome. Got to check out her brand new Mach-E Rally and saw a whole bunch of other Mach-Es as well. I've never seen one up close, so it was kind of cool to check those out. Met a whole bunch of people from Ford as well, some of their community team and social media team. They were all there. It was a great event. They had a huge turnout. It was pretty awesome. Spent about a half hour with them, and then rolled down to the expo itself right down the road. And that's where we were having, Bay Area Rivian Club was having their Rivians and Refreshments event. Which was amazing. We had over 40 Rivians show up and almost 100 people, so all the owners and their families. We were able to park right up in front of the expo, up against the fence, which was behind all of the section where all the car manufacturers were. So we were actually behind the Volvo and Kia displays. So you'd look at Volvos and Kias and then see just like a huge line of Rivians behind it. It was awesome. Rivian was there, of course, as well. Whitney, their community manager, as well as Tiger, who is RJ's chief of staff. He was there also, and he actually brought RJ's Gen 2 R1S in Storm Blue. So we got to check that out and play around with it and crawl all over it and see everything up close and personal, which was super awesome. They provided amazing coffee from this place, a local roaster in Oakland as well, that runs a cafe where they sell their coffee and like homemade pastries and things. So it was delicious. Hung out there for a little bit and then got to go into the expo. Obviously, first stop was Rivian. They had a Gen 2 R1T quad motor, because it had a little Gear Guard Gary emblem on the back, and they had the new travel kitchen on it. They had a Storm Blue R1T pulling an Airstream trailer. They had the new Gen 2 R1S, of course. It was forest green, I believe. And then, of course, obviously, the showcase piece under a tent, roped off, was one of the new R2s. So this is my first time ever seeing it. It is, it's pretty awesome. It's a lot bigger than I thought it would be. I was expecting like a little bit smaller, but it's like the perfect size for somebody that doesn't need a huge R1S or R1T. It was white, and it, I believe it had Ocean Coast interior. So you've probably seen it. I think it was the one that they had in normal at the event that they had there for the R2. So it was really awesome to see that and to actually meet some of the people at Rivian. I believe I let me find the I met the, let's see, what is LinkedIn. I got to meet Keith Smith, who is the senior manager of service lab operations. So basically, he's the guy that creates all of the service manuals and service guides for the entire Rivian company. So him and his team do that, and they were all there. So I got to meet a whole bunch of them, which was super awesome. Pick his brain about all the technical details and stuff that I can't talk about. But it was really cool just to hang out there and meet everybody. Of course, the expo was huge. There was a lot of really awesome vendors there. Obviously, all the car manufacturers that had EVs were there. Tesla had a huge showing. Volvo was there. Lucid was there. VinFast was there, which was really cool. So got to see the VinFast VF8 and the VF9, which is their three-row EV. Who else?
How about compared to R1S? Was like, if you could, I mean, if did you see it up close? Were you able to kind of?
The VF9? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's about the same size as the R2. So it's very small, like very compact on the inside.
VF9. So wait, the VF.
The VF8 is the two row. It's the one, like if you guys watch, like if you watch like Out of Spec on YouTube,
right, the one
they
that,
have, they have a VF8. So it's the one that Francie has. Yeah.
France.
Yeah. So the VF9 is it's a little bit longer and a little bit wider. And it has a third row.
So, but it's around the same size as the R2.
It's around the same. It felt to me around the same size as an R2. So it was, that was really interesting. Trying to think of who else was there. Porsche was there, which was cool. BMW. Porsche actually had the new Macan EV.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to check that out. That was, between that and the Taycan. Oh, my God, dude. Those cars were unbelievable. I wanted to test drive them, but the lines to test drive both of those were like super long. I did get to test drive a Mach-E, which was really cool. Mach-E GT, because I didn't want to, they only had one Mach-E rally. And like there was already a line and people waiting for it. So I'm like, I'll just take the GT. It's basically the same. That was a cool car. That was really fun to drive. It's quick, not as quick as the R1T or the R1S, but it was quick. So I did that. And then I also got to test drive a Nissan Leaf, because how often am I going to be able to drive a Nissan Leaf? Which surprisingly was really comfortable and handled really well. It was just really funny because like it did 0 to 40 in like 10 seconds. the acceleration was not that great. But yeah, but like the lines for obviously Tesla, because they brought the Cybertruck, and then also had Plaid Model S's and the new Performance Model 3. That was probably the longest line out of every one of the test drives. But the second longest was definitely Rivian. They had the Gen 2 R1S as a test drive. I didn't see if the R1Ts were Gen 2 or Gen 1. But I was waiting in line with a guy at Nissan, and he was like, oh, yeah, we're going to hit up Rivian next. And like, he wasn't sure which one he was going to test. I'm like, you got to do both and then check out the difference between the two of them. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm totally going to do that. So I hope he did. I didn't get the guy's name, but if you're watching this somehow, then I hope you enjoyed your test drive. But it was really awesome, too. Like, so walking through like the vendor area, there were three Rivians that were on display with different companies. So the first one, four. So I posted a picture of this one on X. Toyo Tires was showing off their new 20-inch all-terrain tires, and they had a all white R1S. So instead of blacking out the whole car, it was all white. So basically anything that would be chrome or black was white. And they had these hideous white wheels.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, you probably saw my picture.
Yeah.
I think Chris Hilby retweeted it, or Chad, or one of those guys. Yeah, it was like, it was right at the front of the vendor showcase, and like you walk in and like I literally stopped and was just like, what the F is that? Like, it was awful, and I had to take some pictures of it. Yeah. So that was the tires were super awesome though. The new Toyo all-terrain tires look spot on. They were great.
Yeah. For those watching who are lucky enough to watch, you'll see on screen. I'll be honest. Yeah,
you'll see my pictures.
I don't dislike the white on like the roof. I think it's just too much white because the wheels. So if it was just normal wheels, and the bumper, the front bumper is also has like a bit of white out. If that was black like normal, yeah. I don't think I'd be that bothered.
Yeah, the fact that it was like all white.
Yes, it's just so blinding. It's just very like,
yeah. I didn't look inside to see if it had Ocean Coast interior, but like it wouldn't be surprised.
too much going on.
Yeah, so then you walk past that hideousness, and then ZV Centric had their R1S there, and I didn't realize it was theirs because they didn't have like a sign or anything. I guess they did a video on YouTube about it showing that they were there with it, but I didn't see it till last night after I got home. So I'm like, oh, there's a random R1S. And then like you walk up and it had the ZV Centric license plates and covers or license plate frames on. I'm like, oh, perfect. That makes sense. And then walking through a little bit more was Thunderbolt Adventure Supply, and Matt and Sarah had their R1T all decked out with all of their overland gear. They had their tent on top, and they had all their gear in the truck, in the bed, in the frunk as well, because they have new products for everything in the truck, including their new camp kitchen, which is now made out of bamboo. So you have the option of either getting the wood one, or they now have a new bamboo option. So got to check that out. It was really cool. Sarah gave us a tour of all the stuff in their truck. They have some new bed sliders that they're going to be coming out with, which look awesome. They have a new thing that goes in the under seat compartment in the back seat. So you can flip up the back seat and put this down on top and use it as kind of like a pet area. So yes, that way, okay. So like if your dog like likes to jump in the front seat, you can now flip up the back seats and mm-hmm. put this board down, and it's backed by like an aluminum frame on the bottom, and put down like a blanket, and they can use that whole space, and the seats block them from getting up through the center console. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then the only other Rivian that was back there was there was a white R1T at the Lightship RV display. And that was actually Bay Area Rivian Club member. Lightship reached out to us and they were like, hey, is there anybody in the club that would want to show off their car for the weekend? And we had a volunteer. Her name was Mars. So shout out to Mars for showing off her R1T. Looked great in front of the Lightship, which is an insane RV, by the way. If you've never seen one, it is literally like an apartment on wheels. It is massive. It is super, I'll call it bougie. Like, it's got a full-size bathroom in the back of it. Like, it's got a full shower and a full bathroom with a sink and toilet and everything. It was insane. And there was, like, a line to get in it. And there had to have been at least 8 people in there, including the sales reps. And there was still enough room to like move around. Like, it was unbelievable. So I guess it's got solar on the roof. And then like even the window covers pop out, and they have solar panels on them as well, and can bring in an additional 1 to 2 kilowatts of power. So like it was totally decked out. It was awesome. So that was pretty cool stuff. Everything else was really like Tesla. Like everybody there was for Tesla. Like Tesla vendors all over the place. A lot of modded Teslas, a lot of modded Cybertrucks. You know, typical Electrify Expo stuff. So did see a lot of Rivian in the parking lot that weren't there for our event either. So it was really awesome to see that. Somebody on Threads actually noted that, like, there were a lot of, like, Rivian had a huge presence at Electrify Expo San Francisco this year. So I didn't notice it because I was too busy, like, looking for everything else. I'm like, enough of Rivian. I dealt with Rivian all morning. Like, I'm here to see everything else. So I didn't notice it. But, it was great. And it was, like, perfect weather. It rained a little bit in the morning, but the rain moved out. And I don't think it got above, like, 80 degrees the whole time. And the sun was out. And I heard there were 30,000 people on the first day that went through the expo. So it was a really awesome event. So if there's an Electrify Expo in your area, I think the next one they're going to is New York, and then they're going to be in Austin, Texas. So if anybody's in either of those areas, or those areas are easily accessible, I definitely recommend it. I know Rivian's going to be at both, so you'll be able to check out the R2 and the new Gen 2 R1s. So it was pretty great.
Yeah, we'll go over. There's so much to go over there, but that's nice. I mean, it's California, so that's really EV central. I really want to, and I'm looking at your R2 pictures that they're in front of me right now. I need to see this thing again. So bad. It's unfortunate. Like, the only Electrify Expo I think they have Orlando, and they might have had Miami. I just couldn't go with the time, but maybe I'll be able to go to Austin. I'm still planning to go for Detroit. So Detroit 2025, the Detroit Auto Show, I'm hoping to be able to go and see R2 in person. But cool. Before we talk about R2, your first impressions, everything you saw, non-Rivian things. So the Macan EV, yes. I have a test drive planned for September. I think when I checked local Porsche's website, and we just got a Porsche dealer within the last 3 months. They're cool. Pretty new. And their website said two were in transit, and I talked to the sales rep. I don't think they would give a 19-year-old the time of day, but because I drive a Rivian, they acted like I was somebody. So
nice.
I lined up a test drive sometime September, so I'm really excited for that. I am super impressed by Porsche, and I'm hoping, right, we already know Porsche has, alongside, weirdly, the Silverado EV, Mary is leading in something, but we know Porsche has excellent thermals, excellent charging. The Taycan is like the best performance EV that you can get. And of course, we have the Sapphire, which top, you know, best horsepower, best 0-60. We have the Plaid, great 0-60. But for a track vehicle that will go time and time again, we've seen the numbers. The Taycan is really it. And man, I would love for some of this stuff to come over to Rivian. And then for the Lightship, right? So for those who don't know, I believe the Lightship, right, is a RV that has its own battery and motors like an electric vehicle. So it's pretty much its own electric vehicle, but of course, I have a steering wheel. But that way, because it has its own regenerative braking, its own motors, its own battery, and solar panels, it's able to charge. And when you're towing it, it doesn't, I guess it's not pulling as much weight for your EV. And so instead of having to take a bunch of range off, the efficiency is a bit better because the RV is kind of almost coasting with your EV, not being
pulled. Yeah, it takes a lot of strain off the car. So that way you get better efficiency because it's literally like pulling a brick wall. Like, it's got a little bit of a curve to it for aerodynamic in the front. That also reminds me, I did see Polydrops. They were there with the new P21 trailer that I did the efficiency testing on, but this one was like their newest one. So it had more solar panels on it, which were provided by Aptera, which is awesome. And it was fully decked out on the inside. So the one that I saw was like the bare model. This one was a little bit more kitted out. It had the full kitchen in it. And then, like I said, the new solar panels. So whereas like Polydrops, it's a lightweight trailer. It's efficient, obviously, as we talked about, where I got better efficiency, towing the trailer than I did driving down without it. Lightship, it has a little bit of a curve in the front, the solar panels on the roof, but essentially it sits a good like 4 or 5 feet above the truck. I did post a picture of it, I do believe, on X as well, where you can, from the front of the R1T, and you can just see like this giant wall like right behind it, and that's the trailer. So yeah, it does have that electric motor in it. It does generate its own electricity, but, and it's smart enough to know when it's moving, it'll start using the motor in the RV to help kind of push along the truck and itself, so that way you get better efficiency.
Wow. Do you know, so you had the chance, or you already saw the inside, and we'll have clips overlaying, but do you know the cost? Like, that's got to be...
I didn't get a chance to go in it, so okay. But let's see light ship.
Sorry, misheard you. Right.
Oh, it's all good. Reserve the L1. Let's see. Oh my god. They start at $125,000.
Amazing.
And the long range one, so that's just their the essential one. And I guess there's a tax credit on it too, so it looks like you get not $7,500, because those are weird numbers. So the base model starts at 125, and then the long range, the one with the drive motor, starts at $151,500. And it requires a $500 deposit. And they're not shipping until late 2024. So in the next few months, apparently. Lightshiprv.com.
So I'm looking at gas-powered trailers. And so a typical, I guess, similarly sized, non-electrically powered RV would run you like 50 grand. If you're already spending 50 grand, might as well spend another 60.
Go full out.
Go full out the extra 70 and go full out and get the big thing.
But you see, the people that they're marketing this to own like
Cybertruck
and R1T. So if you're spending $100,000 or $120,000, let's call it, on a truck, you're going to, you got the money to spend on a $150,000 RV. Trailer, so I'm sure they offer financing.
That as well.
Poke around, but like I'm sure they do. So, but yeah, it was a great event. It's going on today too. So not that I can be like, oh well, if you're in the area, go see it. But usually they're over a weekend. So if, like I said, if you want to check all this stuff out in person, I do believe that they all go to all the companies that we just mentioned go to every one of the Electrify Expos. Definitely go. It's super cheap to go. It's usually, I think tickets are like $25. And if you poke around online, you can probably find a discount code to get 25% off. So, I think I paid $30 for two tickets, and it's totally worth it for one day.
So. Especially all the vehicles you get to see, especially if you're an EV nerd. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's gotta be like heaven.
I mean, and the interesting thing was too. So like, Kia was there with the new EV6 GT and the EV9, but they also had hybrids there. Like they had the Sportage hybrid, so it wasn't just straight EVs. Like a couple of the companies that actually make hybrid cars brought the hybrids as well. So it was neat just to kind of see what everybody has and to check out all the different cars. And then like I said, also the test drives are free. They have a track that you get to take them on. And because this event was at an old naval base, there was actually a runway and they were doing 0 to 60 trials on the runway. So that was kind of fun. Like you could take the test drive. And if you went one way, you got to do like a road course. And if you went the other way, you got to do a 0 to 60 on a runway. So
yeah,
it was really fun, and the test drives were free. They're included, and all you got to do is sign up and sign a waiver and show them your driver's license, and that's it.
And you mentioned this. I think you – is this the first Electrify Expo you've been to?
Yep.
Okay. I know maybe it was the first or second episode, but we talked about, they have those test drive courses. I guess as we'll lead into R2, and I'll talk about the R2 dates in a second – I cannot wait for them to have test drives of that thing. So you could finally get to experience, especially R3X.
Yeah.
Being able to experience that on its own little course. But we're at least a year out from that. But we can only...
minimum. Yeah.
But I'll leave those links in the description as well for those who are interested. But sorry. Yeah.
Oh, no. I was going to say, speaking of R2, I'll get back to... We'll start talking about that a little bit. R2 is really cool. Like I said earlier, like it was just really neat to finally see it. I wish R3X was there. But it is what it is. Hopefully it'll be at the LA Auto Show. I think that's the next thing that I'm going to try to go to in November. Because R2 is confirmed for that at least. So, it's going to be a good car. I can see now why it's so popular. I wasn't like necessarily writing it off, but like, I'm like, I don't understand the hype. It's just a smaller R1S, but like seeing it in person, seeing the size of it, seeing it compared to like all the other cars in its class, like, I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, I see what the hype is and I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'll have a comparison, size comparison for those watching, but it is in essentially a smaller R1S, being honest, but I think that's just what makes it so much better and so good.
Yeah.
The R1S is such a great vehicle, and then you turn that into something in a smaller form factor at a way better price that's easily accessible to all, you're going to have a hit vehicle. So I am super excited. I'm looking at a picture that you posted of the interior, and I am amazed.
it looks really good, man. Like, it's hot.
Like, this thing's gonna sell super well. And as I said, you'll see the dates on screen. I'll have the dates in the description as well. But hopefully, when you go to the LA Auto Show, right? If you guys like and subscribe. And if you're listening, you know, give this podcast a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But hopefully next time you'll be able to go inside it. Maybe I was lucky enough to be able to go inside. But hopefully next time we can have you, I'll try to contact Tony or something, and then maybe.
Yeah, I can reach out too, but yeah, we'll figure it out. I will get in the R2 at some point before other people.
But this thing is, the look itself, I just remember from the unveil day, which, crazy enough, it's been over 150 days. I think August 4th or 5th made 150 days, so it's 100 over 150 days by now. Which is nuts. And
it feels like crazy
yesterday that it was unveiled.
Which is even more crazy to me, because like, when was that? That was like in like May or June or something.
March, the unveil.
Oh, was it March? Okay.
Yeah, March 7th. At, I think it was 12 p.m. or 3 p.m. something Eastern.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Standard time. Yeah.
Yeah, now just thinking about it, because I'm like, I thought it was later because of when you and I both got our R1Ts. Like, that was 3 months ago.
Yeah. It's nuts. My computer is loaded with Rivian images, and I've been taking the time to kind of sort through everything. And I think I'm going to have to upgrade to the new, I'm probably wait for the M4 MacBook, or I might have to get a desktop, but my computer is just dying from all the Rivian videos and images I have. And I was going back, and from March, seeing the R2, April, May, we got our R1Ts. Mm-hmm. And it's just in that short period of time, it's nuts. And now we're in August, and it doesn't feel like I've had my R1T for that long
it's interesting. Like, it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but then it feels like I've had it forever, like in a good way.
Yeah, like, I feel like I know my
yeah, like I can't remember. Like, seeing all those Teslas and stuff yesterday, I mean, I live in the Bay Area, like, so like every other car is a Tesla, but like, I don't even remember what it feels like to drive it anymore. Like, it's so weird.
It's so different. I still have my Ford Focus in the driveway. I think I mentioned this last week, but I drove it, and I don't know how I drove that vehicle for so long. I drive my Rivian, and I'll run errands, groceries, I'll take the dogs to the park, whatever. And I'm driving it, and if I have to move the Ford, I sit in it and I feel so low to the ground. And
oh, yeah.
I can feel the engine rumble. It just feels so like ancient. And I've left the car on because I'm so used to just hopping out of the car without ever turning anything off.
Yep.
And it's just so like, I was like, this is a nightmare of safety. This just feels dangerous and a horrible experience. And I just couldn't remember how that felt driving that. And I was, I drove it for years, but now my Rivian feels like I'm just so used to it. I know the in and out of it. And that's all I, it feels bad. I've kind of set a bad precedent, but like, I don't think I can go to anything less than the R1T at this point. I think I'm kind of stuck. I'm hoping the, I mean, I've been in the R2 and it feels, it honestly feels like, we'll talk about the comparisons in a second, but it does feel like an R1 in my opinion. I was able to sit in the R2 and immediately sit in the R1 and it felt very similar. But I just don't think that I can downgrade. So I'm hoping R2 is like good enough because I mean, it's a Rivian, so everything is electric as well. So it's like 10 times better than, you know, a four-cylinder gas engine could ever be from Ford. Right. But it's the vehicles are amazing. I'm so used to my R1T.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way. Like R2 looks really awesome. R3 is going to be mind blowing, but like, I don't want something smaller. Like I love my R1T. It is, I think it is the perfect size for me. It does everything I need it to do. I'm sure R2 and R3 are going to be capable of doing the same things, but I just like a bigger car. Like it reminds me of driving my Jeep Cherokees. Like it just feels solid. It's a big car. Like it does everything I need it to do. And
And it's not F-150 or F-250 big either. It's not like extremely like, whoa, but in my driveway, my R1T fits perfectly. It is perfectly sized. I think people talk about the bed issue, and I think the margin of people who actually need a bed that big is so small. I mean, I guess the amount of items that are between 4.5 feet and 6 feet between like how big the Cybertruck bed is in F-150. It's just so, I don't think there's a lot of items that would fit in, not fit in the R1T bed that would fit in the Cybertruck. The truck bed for the R1T is perfect. Especially put the tailgate down. It's 7 feet then. It's like, you just need some straps. So I think every day it is really just a great sized vehicle. And it fits in the garage, like perfectly.
Yeah. My apartment has a single car garage that's tiny and it fits in there perfectly. Like there's enough room to get in. There's enough room for me to get out. And it's very narrow. So like, you have to really line it up perfectly, but if it's in a garage, no problem. Single car garage.
Yeah.
It's great.
Now, your first impressions, I kind of want to know more. I guess what you think about the sizing. What did you think? I mean, from your pictures here, the features. And I mean, a lot of this we've known since March. Yeah. But what were your first like impressions of the R2?
It's very comparable to other cars in its class and price point. So being able to see all of the other EVs that it's going to be competing with when it comes out that, again, fit that kind of mid-size, quote, SUV range, you know, sub $50,000, it's on par with that. Obviously, it's got the Rivian charm to it and the Rivian quality to it. So you get into like an EV9, or you get into like the VinFast VF9, like I said, as well, or even the VF8. And those feel less quality. Like, obviously, like I said, I didn't sit in the R2, but obviously owning a Rivian, knowing what they're capable of doing, knowing what they're bringing to the R2, and then looking at what other car manufacturers are doing in that class, it doesn't compare. Like, I don't want to sound like a fanboy and be like, it's not even fair that Rivian is entering this space, but it's not fair. Like the R2 is just going to blow all of these cars away. So unless like the competition steps up their game and you know, makes a $45,000 car that feels like a $60,000 or $70,000 car, they're going to lose so much to the R2 that it's not even funny. And especially with all the hype that's around it right now too, like it's literally like anything anybody could talk about. Like every email that I get to the Bay Area Rivian Club email that was about this event, everybody just wanted to see the R2. They wanted to know if the R3 was going to be there. Like, and these are owners. These are people that already own an R1 and or have an R2 on reserve. So like it's just like inconceivable. Yeah. Like the like what's going on with this car. Like it's crazy.
Now, what did you see, I guess, in terms of, so kind of saw the outside of the vehicle. I guess what I see in your picture, so the rear window is rolled down. And you also got to talk to, what was his name?
That guy you're Keith about. Smith, who was he's the senior manager of service. Let me look it up again one more
time. Did he give any like special hints or details, or
was it all? We talked a little bit about the manufacturing, and because they do a lot of the optimization and stuff for that as well. He's the senior manager of service lab operations. So basically, his team creates all the procedures and all the documentation for service, as well as stuff in the factory. And basically, long story short, the summary of the one sentence summary of the conversation I had with him about the R2 is they're going to pump these things out. Like they're going to be flying out of the factory. Basically, they have it down. Like they're getting everything like tuned in like perfectly to get this moving, to get the volume when it's ready to ramp up. They're just going to be flying out of the factory basically. So that was the general overall consensus on that. Same with the Gen 2 R1s as well. Like they spent a lot of time dialing all of that in to make sure that it's efficient. And that, like, a lot of the build quality issues that we had with the early R1s are non-existent. So get ready.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them pumping these things out. And something that RJ has kind of relayed over and over, and we'll talk about the factory in a second. Yeah. Some big news there. But something that RJ mentioned was, yeah, comparing this to the other vehicles in this segment. And everyone listening wants to take the time, if I look up like EV SUVs and, you know, everything that's on here from the Mach-E to the Equinox to the Blazer to the Ioniq to the EV9, Mach-E, Prologue, ID4, Solterra, BZ4X, the Kona Electric, the Fisker Ocean, like all of these electric SUVs, mid-size SUVs, they are all somewhat similarly sized and shaped. I mean, comparing the Model Y to a lot of these EVs, they have the same wheelbase, they have similar dimensions, and they all have this sloped back, which I think is really important to know, because I think people hear, okay, it has a sloped back, what's the big thing? But from what we see in these boxy, larger vehicles, you're getting a lot more storage, headroom, and just accessibility in a boxier, bigger SUV. And that's what the R2 is. There is not a single SUV in the segment, midsize, that is like the R2 in terms of its shape and design and usability. They're all compromising for something. And so the Model Y is awesome. And I think that is the standard for building an EV. And it's clearly what other automakers have used for building an EV. But, you know, Model Y has a frunk, but it's manually opening. So it has a good frunk, has decent range, has the best infrastructure, amazing software. Then you get to the Ioniq 5, horrible frunk, mid-space, good range, good charging, poor infrastructure. And as we get NACS, you know, things like that will change. But you go down the line, it's just compromise after compromise. And the best overall option is the Model Y. And then you add the R2, and all of its options, from the charging infrastructure with NACS to range, to its size, to its frunk, to its utility, it is blowing everything, including the Model Y, out of the water. I am super excited to see this thing like hit the markets. I don't even know what to say, but I'll say I've had the opportunity to sit in it, and I've have friends who've sat in it as well, and so I'll post their pictures as well. And everything from the room to I was talking about the room, the space inside is like surreal, and I was able to talk about the interior designer, and I forgot his name, but he's I think he's Australian or British, and he works with Rivian, and they designed the Rivian. What I was told is they designed the R2 and R3 from the inside outwards, and that way you're just getting the biggest vehicle you can get. And I think it really shows in the R3, because the R3 isn't like the, it's weird, it's like hatchbacky kind of SUV-ish. It's not fully like hatchback, fully SUV, but sitting inside it's like super roomy. But yeah, that's like a big tangent there. I'm just amazed with what the R2 will be. Yeah. I'm super, super stoked. And I mean, I'm honestly, as time goes on and kind of seeing comparable R1 pricing, I don't think I'm going to buy my R1T out, my R1T lease. I'm going to just give it back to Rivian. And I think I'm going to get myself in an R2. And I mean, it's the same thing with my family and friends. My mom loves the R1S. In January, we had the opportunity to rent an R1S for a day, and she was the main driver driving it up and down, and she was in love with it and she liked it. And now I get texts and she'll ask me questions. She's like, oh, you did this and you should reword this and that, whenever I make posts. And she really follows Rivian news like pretty heavily. That's awesome. Kind of funny. But she has I have an R2 order ready for her. So I have like two R2 orders, one for me, one for her, when she wants it. And I this is like the perfect sized vehicle for her. She thinks the R1S is too big. And that's going to be for most, a lot of people, the R1S is just too big. And it's great, but again, it's just too big for some people. She loved the size of a Model Y. We did a road trip in a Model Y. We kind of switched between driving, but she loved the sizing of it. And my mom loves boxy cars. This is like,
it's perfect.
Yeah. And this looks, I really think this is going to, I don't want to make it competition, but I think it's important that we note that competition breeds innovation, and that for EVs to excel and for the Model Y to really shine, there needs to be something alongside it and other models alongside it showing that it's a great vehicle. Yep. Because Model Y is at the top right now. And I think you add something there, it gives people more options to choose from, and you have more options, it solidifies the Model Y's place in the market, and it'll solidify the R2's place in the market, and people will see both either or as compelling vehicles, and they'll pick one. And it's just more about getting people into EVs. But I'm sorry, I'm just super excited for
That was perfect. I mean, you basically hit the nail right on the head. Like, as somebody that's owned a Model Y as well, I think that this is a great alternative to that. So like, if you own a Model Y or you're leasing one and obviously can't get out of it for the next couple of years, when your lease is up, definitely, you know, consider an R2. Like, it is the perfect replacement for it. It's the perfect size. It's, I feel like it might be a little bit bigger than a Model Y, but you get the increased space, you get the increased range, and not like Tesla range, you get actual like range, like you know, where Tesla says, oh yeah, 290 miles on 100% charge, but really you get like 220, but it's okay. Not bitter about that at all. You know, and especially with like the way that that Rivian tunes their cars as well. If you're looking for something that's fast, like you have a Model Y performance, like I did, you know, you want something fast, where like in that I could do 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds. I can do the same basically in my R1T. And you know, that's amazing. So, you know, I'm sure R2 won't be as crazy, but I bet you it'll be pretty close. So you'll get that also. So, which is the benefit of any EV, but you know, try to get an EV that goes faster.
I mean, and as EV owners, we really know how good Rivian is, especially things like range and just tuning overall in the vehicle. And of course, right, they'll have the tri-motor, they'll have the dual motor, and there'll always be the rear wheel drive, which is probably what my mom will get. And that will probably fit 90% of drivers. Yeah. But the options are there. And regardless of whether you pick the tri or the dual or the rear wheel drive, owning my R1T, I know that it's going to be excellent. And I'm excited for this to kind of come into play. But yeah, it's amazing. You know, the R2 is going to be on fire. And talking about fires.
No, yeah. Thankfully, no R2s were injured in this story.
Yeah, thank you. Thankfully, no R2s are on fire. But talking about Rivian's on fire, you know what? I'll touch on this first, and this is before we talk about the Rivian factory on fire. A new exec left to Stellantis, and we touched on this last week, right? People leaving. This is another person. I think it's like the sixth person leaving. Again, I don't know what the internal shakeup is. I could see it as a good thing in some ways and a bad thing in others. You don't want rotating doors, but you also don't need excess people. You know, I think, especially in the corporate side, maybe Rivian has been doing a lot of the corporate semantics, and there are this in person, there's a CPO and the CEO and this and that. Funny enough, when you look at Tesla, they have these corporate figures, but it's not as, I think, as outlined as I think traditional auto has it. And I think that's a mistake that maybe Rivian has, and maybe they're noticing that they need to kind of, they've mutually realized they need to trim down some things. Yeah. And it's, they don't need a specialized person who is expensive and would probably hold some of the same knowledge as a group, a team, a dedicated team that you'll get multiple perspectives and opinions from, and it'll probably be cheaper to have. But there's that. And then Rivian also announced the factory expansion. So this was approved. Rivian's expanding the factory, I think by like 1.6 to 2 million square feet.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, they're adding another site. So they're adding an entirely new factory across the street. And then they're adding another building onto the existing factory, which I think will be like a paint shop or something.
Yeah.
All in all, I think that will help it, right, expand for R2.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's all R2 right there.
Yeah, that's all of that will they'll probably need. We probably won't even need Georgia, which they're legally obligated to. I mean, not legally, but financially.
They're still doing it.
So. Yeah, they'll still do it. But it's they have time to put it off.
Yeah, they don't need. They're not as desperate to do it now as they were before. From what I have heard, it is still happening. But yeah, like you said, on a more of a relaxed timeline. So
yeah,
they'll get there eventually.
They have the money for it, so they won't have to. They know normal. They have, I think, maybe the employee base and their tax incentives. There are shipping incentives, such as they know what they need for this area. They understand the rates of shipping, and they understand the market needs for Illinois versus Georgia. That's an entirely new market. Those are new things they need to figure out. I think expanding on Normal is the right thing to do. And I think we'll see an expansion on the current stated production. So currently when they expand Normal, it was supposed to be 215,000, but that was just another building. Now that they're adding an entirely like new factory, I think we could easily see 500,000 plus vehicles, R2, R3, R1, and EDV, RCV, out of all this factory. I think that is like, and that's good. That's exactly what we want. And the more factories, you know, I think demand meets it, the better.
So I was just thinking about this. The whole thing with the Georgia plant was before I got into Rivian, so I haven't done any research into it. Is there any like requirements besides the fact that they need to build the factory there? Like, does it have to be automotive?
It does. So they have to, well, I guess maybe not so automotive, but they're obligated. I think it's 8,000 employees.
Okay.
And then it has to be completed by 2030. So 8,000 employees, okay. A certain amount of...
But whatever they produce in the building isn't required.
Right.
Because my thought is, and this goes back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago about the VW joint venture. What if Rivian's going to start producing their own electronics and their own chips and all of that stuff?
That would definitely...
Speculation. Obviously, speculation. But like... If they're expanding the normal facility and they're building a completely new factory, basically, and expanding the existing one to do production, I could see the argument that, yes, Georgia would be more for, like, if they start shipping cars to Europe. But then at that point, why not just build a factory in Europe as well? But, like, if they're, you know, expanding 2 million square feet roughly in Normal, what would you do with the plant in Georgia that you have to build? So if there's no restrictions on what they have to do in it, why not set up like a component factory, and that's where they can do all of their electronic components? Or if they wanted to maybe do like what Tesla's doing and build their own chips or whatever. So just something to think about. Remember, if it actually happens, you heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly. We're the first people to report on it. But no, that's thinking. I guess my only thinking would be the amount of employees. I know it's in the above 5,000.
Yeah, I mean,
employees needed, and I don't know if you have 8,000 employees for like electron. I'm not familiar with that industry.
I'm the manufacturing side of it. I don't know either. It was just a thought that popped into my head when you were talking about that. I'm just like, I wonder if you could do that.
That'd be nice. If it's 500,000, which is what I'm guessing with the additional space, 500,000, maybe 400,000 vehicles total out of Normal.
Yeah.
I mean, an additional 400,000 out of Georgia. Maybe Rivian puts off Georgia to like 2028, you know, for a while. And that's when they might actually need it. And that they'd be cutting it close, but it's possible. And it's all within the legal guidelines of 2030 when they need to do this.
It'll be for the Rivian Roadster.
Yeah. The Rivian Roadster, the Rivian bike.
The Rivian bike. Yeah, exactly. Both of them.
Yeah. All of that in one swoop. So maybe they won't need it as much. Cause yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Europe and China are bigger markets, especially for what we see in Tesla now, are probably just as big, if not bigger markets than the United States, North America. So they would just want to build a European Chinese factory rather than just having the US. So who knows? Good to have the option, I guess.
Yeah. It just, more space and more production, more money, more income. Let's put it that way. Not more money.
Yeah. More revenue, more income. So yeah, let's talk about this Rivian factory fire. So
yeah,
I don't know what it was. I think it was like 1 a.m. A lot earlier your time, because you're on the West Coast. And so
yep. Definitely felt like around 9 or 10 last night. It was before I went to bed. I saw it. So I usually go to bed around 10. So yeah, that's the timeline sounds about right.
And I think it was Zach. I saw it on Facebook first, and I was scrolling through Facebook, and I do my typical Rivian sleuthing. I'll see these regular videos from employees and stuff, and I'm like, put it off. Then I saw this fire, and I thought maybe it was just a small thing, and then I just went through the comments. I saw the bigger video, and I was like, this is a giant fire. And then I went to we have a Rivian group chat, and Zach, EV guy Zach, he is a student who lives in Normal. I think he lives nearby Normal, like a little outward suburb of Normal. And but he's a student and he's a Rivian fan and enthusiast. And he posted about it. So I got the video from Facebook, got some information from employees. And from what we know, and I'll go based on the facts first, because facts are important.
Yeah, exactly. Facts are important here.
But from what I first heard was that it was a building in a parking lot. And then I heard it was a train in the parking lot, so a train. But then I guess that was a misconception because a week ago, a train actually flipped. Flipped. And so that some of the vehicles, I think, and we'll show this image here in a second. Some of the vehicles you see in the field are not on fire or burnt. I think some of those are just the flipped vehicles. And so there was a train accident. And I think no one really ever talked about that. I didn't know about that till then.
Yeah, I remember seeing something about the train accident on Reddit because people's cars got delayed because of that.
Okay, so this is the first time I was hearing about it.
Yeah, I didn't think very much of it.
Yeah, Reddit's got all the good. I gotta get back to me. Like all the good tiny nit picking stuff. But yeah.
Anyway,
it's a fire. I mean, I don't want to seem like I'm off playing it. No one was hurt. By the time you're watching this and by the time we're filming this, the fire was put out. The vehicles are all separated. And I will pull up the current facts that we have here. As I said, so it said a fire broke out at Rivian's Normal, Illinois factory last night, but the factory itself was unharmed. So good to know, right? The line itself where they're producing the vehicles was untouched. A fire damaged a number of EVs in the Rivian factory parking lot. This article's grammatically. Anyway, it spread to a yet unidentified number of Rivian EVs. The vehicles were severely burned, as shown in video shared on social media. Sergey posted a video of the fire on Instagram. His caption wrongly stated that the plant was on fire, but it was reposted by EV guy Zach, our friend Zach, on Twitter X. Yep. And then a comment on Reddit. So the plant is not on fire, just some vehicles waiting to be shipped out, fixed before shipping. And he is an employee at Rivian who commented that. And it says, right, so Central Illinois News Channel reported that Normal Fire Department spokesperson Matt Swaney, okay, so he's head of the Normal Fire Department, said fire crews were called to Rivian's Normal plant just before 9:45 p.m. for a reported vehicle fire on the north side of the factory. And said as of midnight Sunday, Swaney confirmed that the fire was out by midnight and that the fire's cause is under investigation. There were no reported injuries.
Well, it's good that nobody was injured. I think the speculation based on the photo, the aftermath photo that was taken, I guess this morning, shows about 40 cars in like a sectioned off area in the parking lot that looked like they were burned. So that's not considerable amount, or yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. Not a small
that's
amount. Small.
I mean, that's, yeah. 40 is a lot. A lot of vehicles. And at the end of the day, but this is a significant amount of vehicles, but it's not people and they're just vehicles. And at the end of the day, they're just cars, which sounds really maybe bad. I should be more like, oh my gosh. But I think people really sensationalize this type of stuff. Yeah,
and especially with how sensitive people are to the EV industry right now as well. Like, I'm actually surprised that this hasn't blown up. Wrong wording. more than it should, or would have, or you know, like imagine if this was like Tesla, people would be like, you know, screaming about it. Like, I'm actually very surprised that like people have been like relatively chill about this. You know, I kind of made the joke when I saw the story that like, oh, that's it, Rivian's going under, they can't afford this. You know, like, yeah. I'm surprised those people haven't come out of the woodwork to say the same thing. Like, I was joking, but like, because like, especially with something like this is something that Rivian's insurance will be able to handle, so like they're not going to lose any money on this, which is fantastic. It sucks for the people whose cars those were, because now they're gonna have to wait longer, and then they're probably go online and complain about it, like, oh my god, Rivian delayed my car order, blah blah blah, like they already do, like whatever. But you know, the major takeaways from this are is thank god that nobody was hurt, and it's something that can be, it's a car, it can be rebuilt, it can be refurbished, like whatever you want to do to it, it can be redone. So the key point is find the root cause of what happened and fix that and move on from it and go from there.
Exactly. I'm that was the perfect way to put it. And yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, the news, there's a lot of articles about this from many different stations, and I can already see this being used as a, I mean, look, on X, Zach, who made this original post, has almost, or if not already, over 1,000 likes, over 100 comments, and a lot of them are just anti-EV stuff, and there's just a lot of FUD. And this is not an investing podcast, although I know I'm a Rivian investor. Are you?
Right? Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm.
So you both own, we both own shares of the company, but I am not, like, it's a long-term investment. If you're someone concerned about the stock price, stock moves up and down. And this, again, factory fires happen all the time. I did a Google search for factory fires between July 1st, 2023 and July 31st, 2024. And GM has had multiple fires. Tesla has had a fire. Ford has had a fire. Tesla had two fires, one in Germany, one in Fremont. Yep. A lot of the FUD, what we have here is a lithium battery fire in South Korea. Battery fire. And a lot of it is FUD because these type of fires happen all the time. And this is not Rivian's first fire, which is not a good thing. I believe 2 months ago, Rivian had a fire. And then about a year ago, Rivian had another fire. They're very small, nothing to this scale.
Yeah.
But those were, I believe, during working hours, and those were controlled fairly quickly versus this. This was at night. I doubt anyone was there at the time. Things have to be ablaze before people notice. And it takes a second before things like this start to really get handled. But I mean, it's unfortunate. And you know, some people's vehicles will be delayed, but at the end of the day, like, people are not hurt. And I think that's the really big, important thing, because while we all love Rivian and it sucks to see some Rivians be burned, they're just cars, which sounds so bad, but
it does. But like, it's true. It's something that can be easily replaced.
Right.
And especially these, they weren't even they weren't delivered yet. Like, you know, nobody is out anything. Rivian's not losing money on it. People that ordered those cars aren't losing anything except time. I mean, okay, you'll have to wait like another week or two for them to match you with a different VIN that hasn't already been sold. Big deal. Like, suck it up. You have a really fun story to tell people, like, yeah, my car was originally burned down in a fire and now I got a new one, you know? So take a look at it that way. Like, you know, just be happy that you're able to have one of these awesome cars that everybody's so passionate about, and, you know, cheer on the company when they actually do something right. And, you know, here we are.
That is the perfect way to put it. You have a story to tell. And I mean, look, things are going to happen in this business. And I was telling Zach about this early on. I've pride myself on being like, Rivian has had no high voltage battery fires that at least have been reported. And there have been 12 volt battery fires. There have been charging fires, but there hasn't been a fire where it is directly caused by the high voltage pack. So whatever this investigation concludes, I'm hoping it was not something pack related, battery cell related. Yeah. But there are some speculations. Some people are saying that these packs are from a certain manufacturer, from a certain country. There's a lot of speculation going on right now, and I'm sure next week we'll have like a more clear answer as to what happened. Yep. But, you know, as of right now, just a fire happened. A bunch of vehicles were burned down.
Yeah.
Everyone's fine.
Everybody's fine.
Yeah. Everyone will be back to work tomorrow, Monday. So.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. But this, I think this will have, again, for those financially focused people, I'm sure this will have some sort of stock effect. But again, stock moves up and down.
Stock moves up and down. I bought my stock when it was $10, like when it got down the lowest it's been.
Yeah.
And, you know, as of Friday, it was at $13.96 a share. So, you know, I'm sure it'll go down Monday. It'll probably drop to $12. Ooh. Oh, then it'll probably be up to 14 by the end of the week, you know.
And then they'll announce another deal, and then it'll be 30. So
yeah, exactly.
It goes up and down. And
I'll throw out the disclaimer that we are not financial experts. Do not take advice from us on any financial investments. Consult your local financial advisor for any information or suggestions for stock purchases.
You had that full like tagline there ready.
Oh yeah. I'm covering our butts, man.
Yes, we're not financial experts.
Yeah.
At all.
We're just a couple of guys that enjoy the company and want to help it succeed.
Yeah. But I'll pull out a calculator here and I'll do the math. So just for example, in quarter two, Rivian produced, I can pull up here. Sorry, this is quarter two. Quarter two is not a good one because quarter two was the shutdown. But quarter one, they produced 13,980 vehicles. And I'll do 13,980 divided by 31 days in a month, even though months vary. So Rivian's producing about 450 vehicles a day. That's actually nuts. And so you have to imagine that's not even, let's see. That's like an eighth of their production.
Not bad.
Like, you know, they'll again, Monday will happen and they'll go on and they'll continue to produce. And I'm sure they'll be kind of a ramp back up. But again, this happened in a parking lot away from the factory. So it's not even like this is something that factory people have to be focused on. So again, you know, they produce 400, almost 500 vehicles in a day. This is just 40 to 60 vehicles. You know, it's, they'll make it up.
They will absolutely make it up. It'll be fine.
And if anything, right, they get to, I guess, do you count these vehicles as produced on the balance sheet? Like, are these produced vehicles? I mean, they were out there, right? They were in the lot.
They were technically sold, I think.
Were these sold already?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they were sold or if they were inventory, but they were produced. They were sitting there.
Right.
So you can count them as, like, we had 40 cars come off the line.
The production numbers will be fine. This is not affecting that.
Yeah, there is no net loss.
Awesome. All right. So Rivian factory fire. I don't think there's anything crazy. I have nothing crazy to say. How about you?
I don't have anything else for now that I can think of. So,
all right. Well, next topic. We'll talk about the NACS adapter as well because those are now shipping.
Oh yeah.
Well, ramped up production. So it was announced that Tesla is expanding. Has ramped up like the NACS adapters. So there's a bunch more going out now.
Yeah. Didn't they say like 80,000 or something? But did I read that wrong?
I think it was eight. Let it be 80. Oh my gosh. If it's 80, then I'm getting it soon, right?
Let me double check this while we're talking about it. Tesla NACS adapter ramp.
But they're expanding them, which is a good thing. And now it seems like it's not just Tesla building them. They also
it was 8,000.
Okay, 8,000. That's still a lot, though. I mean, and what was that, a week or a month? What was that?
Gigafactory New York team is now producing up to 8,000 weekly units.
Wow. So at this rate, right? Eight.
Also, shout out to Jose at Rivian Tracker for the story. I found it right on Google. First hit.
No, his SEO is like, damn, it's scary.
Yeah, that was really good.
It's very scary. So 32. So they'll produce 192,000 in the next 6 months.
That's fantastic.
So everyone, if you're watching this, it is likely within the next 6 months, you will get your adapter. And at that point, they'll start sending them with deliveries and people will stop price gouging them because I wanted to buy an adapter, but I didn't want to buy the A2Z. And I don't want to buy the Electron, even though I should. It's like, just gamble it. I was like, if I could just get the real thing, then I'd be happy. And I would be fine paying extra money. $790.
Good Lord.
On eBay.
No, it's not worth it. Wait the week, because A to Z is shipping the Pros right now. And they're, what, $200? And you get it within a week. Like, and you're closer than I am. It's a week to get it on the West Coast because they're coming out of Montreal. Or Toronto, someplace in Quebec, you know, so you're closer because it comes UPS ground. So
I'd get a lot sooner. So I maybe I'll go.
See, I'll go. Buy one, and then when you get your official one, you can sell it on eBay for $800.
Right. So that one high. I'm just, when I saw that price, I was like, geez. But luckily, right, if it's $192,000 in the next 6 months, $32,000 units a month, he 6 months he'll probably sell it. But
yeah,
there won't be much of that left for people to be like, I'm going to charge $800 for this NACS adapter.
Yeah. They'll be lucky to give them away at that point.
Awesome.
No, that's awesome. That's great, because there was what? 100, was it 100,000 Rivians out there as of the end of Q4 or something?
Yeah, and 20,000 of those are probably EDVs.
Yeah.
So you'll get your adapter soon.
Yeah, we'll all get our, like, anybody that's past November of 2022, I think that's what they were up to, we should be getting them soon.
And there's, and imagine Ford as well, but does the 8,000 include just Tesla, or 8,000 including both the third party and Tesla, did it say?
I think, let me go back to Jose's story. Tesla's ramping up production of NACS adapters, official Tesla's producing 8,000 weekly units. Tesla is also working with manufacturers like Rivian and Ford to ramp product up and get the official Tesla NACS adapter in owner's hands so they can utilize it in compatible Tesla super charging stations across America. Take that as you will.
So it, sorry, ADHD brand. So it sounds like it's just Tesla 8,000. There, what? Read that. Just the title.
It's all right. I'll just read the blurb.
I should have it in front of me, but I'm like, just read
it's
it.
Okay, I got it. We're good. Tesla is ramping up production of the NACS adapters, according to a post on X by the official Tesla charging account. Tesla says that the Gigafactory New York team is now producing up to 8,000 weekly units.
Okay, so it's just Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla is also working with manufacturers like Rivian and Ford to ramp up product up and get the official Tesla NACS adapter in owner's hands so they can utilize it at compatible Tesla supercharging stations across North America. And the tweet itself, post, whatever you want to call it, says, congrats Gigafactory New York team for ramping NACS adapter production to 8,000 units per week. OEMs are also ramping suppliers.
Perfect. That's amazing. So it's 8,000 from just Tesla, and then OEMs are also ramping suppliers. So there's probably some third parties out there. Boom. That's 10,000 a week minimum at some point. I mean, I imagine.
Yeah.
And it's guaranteed 8K now. Yeah. So pretty soon everyone will have their own adapter. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's great.
This is, I mean, that's what we need, especially for infrastructure. And I mean, the current, I can't even explain the experience I've had with Electrify America and how just abysmal it is. And it left a bad EV taste in my mouth, because I feel like if Rivian wasn't adopting NACS or weren't building their own network, I would probably get a Tesla my next vehicle. Honestly, if Rivian was sticking with CCS, because Electrify America was absolutely horrible during my drive down to Orlando.
Yeah.
And I tested my own Electrify America first. So that's one. And then I tested a different one in Gainesville. And that's when I was like, this is ridiculous. I could never do it. But with these NACS adapters, you go to a V3 station,
yep,
you get to plug in and you're getting reliable charging.
Yeah, see, I was kind of the same way. That's why I held off for like a really long time with driving a non-Tesla EV, because I heard all the horror stories like, oh my God, Electrify America, charge point, they're terrible, like blah, blah, blah. And then my girlfriend got her ID4. And obviously Volkswagen doesn't have access to superchargers yet. But she would take her ID4 to all the Electrify America stations around where we were at the time. We were over one town in Santa Rosa. And it was actually not bad. Like the EA station in Santa Rosa was brand new. The chargers were very reliable. They were constantly being used. So like we always would have to wait like one or two cars. But it was because it was on the top of a parking structure at the mall. but they worked really well. And then when we moved to Napa, there's one at the outlet mall, which is right down the road from me. And it's a four station EA and they all work perfectly. And we've neither one of us had ever run into an issue with them. So I'm like, all right, I'm a little bit more comfortable with this. And then once Tesla announced that Rivian was going to be able to use the supercharger network, I'm like, all right, I'm done. That's it. And then that's when I went like 100% in on Rivian. I'm just like, I gotta get this car. Charging isn't going to be an issue. We're fine. And here we are.
That's proof that it moves units, that infrastructure, good infrastructure, and even just announcing that you're getting access to good infrastructure gets people to be like, all right, time to get a Rivian now.
Yeah. I mean, and it's actually really funny. So like, speaking of Rivian and Ford getting the NACS adapter, as we know, Ford can use superchargers as well. And so yesterday, one of the things that we got to do, like I said earlier, was test drive the Mach-E. And it was a great car. Like if I wanted to go back to driving a car, that's probably what I would get. My girlfriend really wanted an R2, and now she's seriously reconsidering getting an R2 and getting a Mach-E just because she liked it a lot better. And obviously because she could drive it and she hasn't driven an R2 yet, although she's driven my R1T and loved it. But one of her big deciding factors on it was because right now Ford has access to the supercharger network. Whereas while Volkswagen is on the list, they don't have it. And there's no date of when they're going to be able to be NACS compatible. So, you know, if they don't get it within the next 2 years, like it's either going to be a Ford or a Rivian. So yeah, it definitely like having access to like, we'll call it the gold standard of charging networks. It really sways people's decisions. All right. So I think that's going to, I think that'll wrap everything up for us this week. As always, for Rivian Rundown, I'm Zach.
My name is Isaiah. And thank you guys so much for watching Rivian Rundown episode number 3. That is by far the best episode to me. I felt the most comfortable. And I'm excited to have our milestone of 10 and we'll keep moving on forward. But don't forget to like, share, subscribe if you are new, and we will see you in the next episode.
And be sure to always check us on YouTube as well, because we want to build up our subscriber base on there. I think before we started recording this, we had 9 subscribers. So I know there are more than 9 people listening to us. So go and like and subscribe on there, youtube.com/@RivianRundown. And the link will be everywhere as well. Or you can also check out our new website, RivianRundown.com. And all the podcast episodes and links to all the videos are on there as well.